Before I begin, let's go into prayer one more time. God, we are honored that we get to be in your house today, and I pray that you grow us and you help us learn things that we need to know so that we can be a better light and a bigger light for you, so that we can love people more and more and understand your purpose for us in this world today. And thank you for your guidance and your direction in our lives. Bless the kids as they go and learn their lesson today. Grow them spiritually. We need them to be spiritually mature young men and women that will take your gospel around the world, God. And we thank you for that and that opportunity. And thank you for your anointing and your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to finish up this series, and I've enjoyed this study, this series of Who Is He to Me? One of the main things that I learned in this series, and I pray that you did too, is how important it is to prioritize time with God. My needs are simply met just by being in His presence. And that's something that, yeah, I knew that. I could say that, but it never really was a part of my life. And when you begin to look at that differently, you begin to understand how important it is to just be in the presence of God. We have that access to be in the presence of God. We spend time with Him, and His nature begins to infiltrate our lives. In other words, God doesn't hand out boxes of peace when we need peace. You spend time in His presence, and His nature of peace begins to infiltrate your life. He doesn't hand out boxes of wisdom when we need wisdom. We spend time in His presence, and God's characteristic of wisdom begins to infiltrate our lives. I for real believe that. Who He is to me. So I found, now I say that first because I want to realize that when we go through this list of who God is to us, God is those things when we begin to spend time with Him. So I found these characteristics. I found a lot of characteristics. I went through the Bible and did a search for God is ... and found a bunch of them. Some of the ones that I liked the best, I'm going to share with you. These are just some of them. He is our strength, mercy, or grace, redeemer, salvation, giver. As a matter of fact, I found one and I put financier on it because he was the one who gave the people finances, the ability to make finances. Fighter, compassion, faithful, defender, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, or omnipresent. He is our provider. I liked this one too because I love nature and I love to talk to God while I'm in nature. Matthew 6:30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field which is alive today and tomorrow, it is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? God, who is He to me? He's the designer of nature. And nature is beautiful. Those of you that love nature realize that when you spend time out there, it's beautiful. I liked this one too. He's our builder / equipper. 2 Corinthians 5:5 says, now He who prepared us for this purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Another one that I liked. Hello, Lord, is that you? That's okay. Another one I liked is wisdom. Now, I want to talk about this a little bit because I'm not sure. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. But it seems like common sense has taken a nosedive since about 10 years ago. I don't know. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just saying I don't feel like I see as much wisdom in this world as I used to. Oh, the looks on your faces are, that's hilarious. Now, I may be kind of joking and teasing a little bit, but I tend to see things that portray a lack of wisdom. And I'm not just talking about some of the obvious things, the political parties, because I'm not talking about just that. I'm talking about even church leaders and as well as worldly people. I saw some videos lately about pastors getting up and they are calling people names and they are not speaking a message of love to other people. And I'm just telling you, I want to warn you against deceivers. Jesus said they're like wolves in sheep's clothing. They're going to look righteous from a distance. Be careful. That's why we have to be founded in the Word of God. That's where our foundation is. I'm just saying be careful. I believe the gospel is a gospel of love. All right? So I see this stuff. And I was reminded of a couple of scriptures. And this is in the Bible. And I don't think it's up there on the board. But like in Romans 11, God gave them a spirit of stupor. And this is because the Israelites were in a place where they just continually rebelled and rebelled. God gave them a spirit of stupor. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. In 2 Thessalonians 2:11, for this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false. I see that scripture in this world today. But no fear because of this. 1 Samuel says that the Lord is a God of knowledge. James 1:5 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, any of you, you don't even have to be a Christian. You can ask God for wisdom and he's going to give you wisdom. Do you know why he opens this up to anybody, even if you're not Christian? Because the first thing he's going to say, well, the smartest thing you can do is become a Christian. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all generously and without reproach. It will be given to him. Wisdom. Just hanging out with God, I believe, gives wisdom. 1 Corinthians 2:9 and 10. Things which the eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, that which God hath prepared for them that love him. But I have revealed them unto you by my Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth even the deep things of God. How smart is that? Deep things of God. Can you imagine the things that God looks at and says, that's deep? Okay. I believe that just spending time with God will make you smarter. Here's another one that I like, Avenger. Romans 12:19, never take your own revenge. Leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But who exactly is he talking to here? Says never take your revenge, because shouldn't we sometimes take revenge for ourselves? Verse 14 says, those who persecute you. Those who persecute you, never take revenge. 2 Thessalonians 1:6 says, for after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. Never take revenge. Who is he to me? He's my avenger. He is my judge. Romans 14:3, the one who eats, get this one. Here's one we need. Eating, this is talking about eating things, and eating was a big part of Jewish law, the first law, the old covenant. what they had particular things that they could eat, could not eat, and certain days you could even eat things on and couldn't. In Romans, Paul's trying to teach about the new covenant. Things are different. Things are going to believe differently. Just hang on. So he says, Romans 14:3, the one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. The one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. So what about if someone disagrees with me? Romans 14:22, moving on. The faith which you have as your own conviction before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Can I have an amen? All right. 2 Timothy 4:1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead. He is our peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. He is our honor. I liked this one because this is something that was, I thought, interesting that he puts this in there. Hebrews 5:4, and no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron was. And like I said, a great deal of this series can be summarized by simply prioritizing our time in the presence of God. Realizing that the presence of God was here and God simply wants to hang out with you. He wants to show himself more to you. I called it the ultimate unlimited access plan. Okay? Because I am more convinced, even after this study, that my success in life and as a Christian completely revolves around the time and attention and focus that I give to God. That's where I abide. That's where I spend my time. That's where I build my foundation. On my foundation is where I build my house, where I live. And that's what keeps me from deception, keeps me safe from the storms in this life. I want to give you an example here. A gift that was given to me. I love fruit smoothies. Anybody else like fruit smoothies? I love them. And I put like pieces of mango and pineapple, and I put that with water, sometimes some grape juice you add it in, and you add some chocolate protein and some peanut butter. I'm telling you, I live on that stuff. I love it. I could eat some every day and probably more than that. Kevin, you like juice? You're a healthy guy. You like fruit smoothies? No? I like fruit smoothies. So let's say this. Let's use this as an example. Jill gets me a gift. She gets me a juicer. She knows how much I love fruit smoothies. And she gets me a top-of-the-line juicer. And she brings this home as a gift to me, and she gives this to me. And it's not my birthday. It's not Christmas or an anniversary or anything. She just gives it, just a free gift. She gives it to me. Now, she knows that I love them. They're delicious. And this juicer is going to allow me to make fruit smoothies anytime I want. I've got the ingredients in the freezer and the fridge, and it's just going to be great. But I find myself not using it. I don't apply it. I'll apply it to my life. I know it's there. I know it's real. I know it's available. It's free to me. And I have the necessary ingredients. And I know that it was given to me in absolute love. And I'm thankful for it. But I just don't use it. Why is it that I don't use it? Why is it that I have this gift that I know that I would love and I just don't use it? And I come up with two possible answers of why I don't use this. Number one, I don't deserve it. And I don't. It's not it's not a special day. I didn't get Jill anything. I haven't even done the laundry enough lately, and she gets me this gift. I don't deserve it. I left dirty dishes in the sink again, and I don't deserve it. And, you know, I think in our culture we want to merit the things that we get. And it's sometimes difficult to use something that was just freely given to us that's great, but I just don't deserve it, so I feel kind of weird about it. The other reason is I just don't prioritize it. I don't put the time into getting the ingredients out, put them in there. You know, I just don't. I'm busy. Sometimes it's easier just to grab a granola bar or stop by McDonald's or whatever it is. You know, I'm just busy. I don't prioritize it. I just don't apply it to my life. It just doesn't become that important, even though I know that I would love it. Now I want to tell you about another gift. God, His Spirit, and Jesus went in together to get you a gift. I'm going to tell you about a gift that they got for you, just for you. But first, we need to understand the history of this gift. So first off, God made man because, men and women, mankind, because He wanted a species that would return His love. They had a choice to love Him back. He wanted to commune with them. He wanted to hang out with them. We know that He was in the garden with Adam and Eve. I believe that God wanted to just hang out with His people. Now, because of a decision, because we are free to choose, a decision to disobey God and sin, there was a separation that happened in between God and man. Sin caused a separation because now man was flawed greatly, and he cannot commune and hang out with such a perfect and holy God. Okay? But God still wanted to be among His people. But there was this problem of this separation between us because of sin. The issue was righteousness. We needed righteousness that led to relationship. In other words, separation by sin versus righteousness to relationship. Okay? For the purpose of what? Well, God wanted to be with His people again. And we'll see that throughout the Bible. Mankind needed to be absolved from our sins in order to relate and to commune to such a holy and perfect God. A sacrifice of blood, a life sacrifice, was necessary to account for these sins. In Leviticus 17:11, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement." And in the New Testament, Hebrews 9:16-18, "For where a covenant is, there must of necessity be the death of one who made it. For a covenant or a testament," or a will and testament, you know, "a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. Therefore, even the first covenant was not inaugurated without blood." So, the sacrifices were made. Old Testament, right? Sacrifices were made. Righteousness would occur because their sins were now gone. And now they could enjoy the presence of a holy God. At least temporarily they could. A lot of this history is going to be found in Hebrews 5 and 9. Acts, I think, 10 has this. And Leviticus and Exodus. Kind of the history of all of this sacrificial stuff that leads us to the New Testament. So in Leviticus 26:12, we read, "I will also walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." God desired His presence to be with people. God desired to walk among His people. So then He instructed them to build a temple and an ark. They're out in the desert, and they build this temple. And It has the Holy of Holies room and the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit, lived in that. And that's how he could be among his people. But it was still pretty limited because only certain people could actually go into the Holy of Holies, and only on certain days. Not even every day could they do. So God said, let's make a new covenant. Now, first off, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant is vital. There had to be an Old Covenant, but that's another lesson. But the New Testament. So God says, let's make another covenant, but I want to add everybody in on this. Not just a certain bloodline, but everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So I want to add everybody into this covenant, and I would like to be closer to my people. But there's still this problem of a separation. Sin separated us from God. There was no way that the two could commune because he's a holy and perfect God, and we're a flawed people. So there was this issue again, righteousness necessary for relationship. So, if God could provide a perfect sacrifice of blood and of life to satisfy the covenant, then mankind could accept that gift and then have complete access to God. No more separation. Because of that perfect sacrifice of Jesus, and all sins are paid for, righteousness is now obtainable. That's what we read in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we're cleansed completely of unrighteousness, what are we? Righteous. And if we're righteous, then we can enjoy the very presence of the Almighty God. And when that happens, there's no longer separation. Paul puts it like this in 2 Corinthians 6:16, we are the temple, now we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, all of this is still for the presence of God in our lives. He still desires to hang out with you, to be with you, to spend time with you. Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of the sin, your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's take it back to the gift. Even Jesus calls it that. John 4:10, Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would ask him, and he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift, sometimes that hits me. If you knew the gift, you get living water. What exactly is this gift? Let's talk about that. Let's just get right down to it. See, because God still wants, keep this in mind, God still wants to walk among his people, to be among us, but in a very personal way now, because each one of us can house the very Spirit of God himself. That abiding, the Bible calls it abide or a dwelling. Romans 6:23, we've probably all heard this one. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The free gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life. Now, I got to asking God about this because, we just consider life as, being alive. But I thought, well, God, we're spiritual beings, right? Yes, okay, we're eternal. That means that our spirits are eternal. So whether we go to heaven or whether we go to hell, won't we always eternally exist? Right? And we will. we will have eternal existence. So there must be something about what he means here by eternal life. Okay? So I begin to wonder about this, think about it, pray about it, study it. Eternal life. What is eternal life? And I found out it was a lot easier to figure that out than I realized. In John 17:3, Jesus tells us what eternal life is. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that you may know God. He's praying here to his Father. He says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So now we can translate this verse in Romans 6:23. I want you to get this in your spirits, folks. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is knowing God and knowing Jesus. That's eternal life, because Jesus says, what's eternal life? Knowing God. The free gift of God is knowing God and knowing Jesus. Here's the deal. Yes, it's a gift of eternal life in heaven, and that's going to be super awesome. And I'm happy about that. But if we shrink it down to just that, we're missing a big part of who God is for us and who we are to him. Because he wanted to do this, to be in our presence, to among his people today in your life. This is the gift. All access, all the time, personal relationship with our Father God starting now. When does it start? When does it start? It starts right now. The presence of God, you have access to that. Hallelujah. Not since the Garden of Eden has the Almighty God been this accessible to those who believe. Think about this. No time in history has God ever been so accessible as he is since the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Never. That's the gift. The very presence of God in our lives. That's the gift. What a gift. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Here's a good one. Romans 3:23-24. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So we fell short of the glory of God. And it says past tense there. We fell short because of sin. See, if I can fall short of something, that means I was on my way somewhere. But if I've fallen short of it because of sin, that means without sin, I'm not going to fall short of it and I will achieve it. The glory of God. Wherever I fall short, you see there again, what separated us? Sin separated us. But now we have that perfect sacrifice and we can say, I'm sorry, God, I'm going to watch out for that step again. And I'm going to jump over it this time. And now I won't fall short of the glory of God, and I can actually achieve living in the glory of God, being in the presence of the Almighty. Yeah, okay. This is eternal life, he said, that you may know God. Free, unlimited access to God Almighty as our Father for eternity starting now. And folks, this is the gospel. This is the good news. So if you've ever wondered how to share the gospel, it's that we have free access to God and eternity starting now in this life because of the perfect life that Jesus led, his torture, death, and resurrection. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the God the Father. That's the gift. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's God living on the inside of us, as he says in Acts 2:38. And we have the gift of God's love, because he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What an awesome gift, access to God. Who wouldn't want to take full advantage of such an amazing gift? And yet, so many do not apply that access, that gift, to their life. Just like I didn't apply that juicer to my life. I didn't use it. Remember what I said about the juicer? I know it's there. I know how to use it. I know it's available. I know it's free. I have the necessary ingredients. And I know that it was given to me in absolute love. And Jill, I thank you for it. It's awesome. But I just didn't apply it. And now I have this other gift. And it's not a juicer. It's actually the very presence of the Almighty God that was given to me because of a great price that was paid. I know it's there. I have access to it. It's available. It's free. I have all the necessary ingredients. And I know that it was given to me in absolute love, no doubt. And I'm grateful for it. I'm so thankful for it. I tell them that every Sunday at church. But I don't apply it to my everyday life. And then I ask why. Because let's ask why, so then we can fix it. Maybe it's the same reasons that I didn't use the juicer. I don't deserve it. I don't deserve that access to God. I'm not good enough. And you know what? Ding, 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 you're right. Tell them what they've won, Don. That you're not good enough. But you don't have to be. You're only good enough because of the sacrifice in the first place. You cannot merit your salvation, your relationship with God. You can build your relationship with God, but you cannot work and approve yourself for salvation without the sacrifice. You're not good enough. But that's the cool thing. Nobody is. You see the person sitting next to you in the left and the right? They weren't good enough either. That's right. Nobody's good enough. As a matter of fact, nobody is more or less deserving of a relationship with God. Now, some people may say, yeah, okay, yeah, but my sins are probably a little bit bigger than what you're used to, because I've done some things. I mean, I'm telling you, you know, I didn't just steal a candy bar from a store when I was 9, and that's it. You know, it's not just cussing that I used to do or anything like that. I've got some serious stuff. My thing is, it doesn't matter if you're addicted to cocaine or addicted to Coca-Cola. If you can't control your appetite or you can't control your mouth. You can't discipline your eyes or you can't discipline your own kids. You don't manage your spending and you don't manage your giving. Any of those may be faults, but whatever fault you think that you have, God still says, I got a gift for you. And now you deserve it. He adopted you as sons and daughters, even when you didn't deserve a thing. And he's okay with that. He says, I have a gift for you. So I say, don't be rude, take the gift. Spend some time with your father. But make it personal. You don't have to pray like me. You don't have to pray like Pastor Temple. You don't have to use fancy words. You don't have to use the King James Version. But if you want to, that's fine too. But make it personal. What do you want to say to God? As you're driving down the street, going to school or to work or to go shopping, picture God sitting in the seat beside you and just have a chat with him. Every once in a while I catch myself and I begin the conversation like this. Hey God, how's it going in heaven today? Never mind, I know. It's great. But, and he's okay with it. One time I asked him what he wanted for Christmas. Hey, God, what do you want for Christmas this year? That's a whole sermon. I'll do that later. But make it personal. Make it real. Take the gift. Number two, the reason that I didn't use the juicer, the other reason that it could be is because I just am too busy. I don't prioritize it. Stop it. Your eternal life is far more important than anything you got going on today. That's just facts. Think about it. Prioritize it. God shared the scripture with me just last night, and it hurt a little bit, but he said this. He said this to Peter in Matthew 16:23. He turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's." I was like, whoa, that's, wait. Where's the majority of your mind and your interests set? What are you doing with this gift, the gift of God's presence? Are you applying to it? Are you saving it for Sunday mornings? Gracious sakes. Are you applying it every day? What an honor to be able to be in the presence of the Most High God at any point in my life. Whether things are great, whether things are bad, I have unlimited, all the time access to my Father God. When we spend time with Him, His nature begins to infiltrate our lives and His character. And I've realized more and more that I must prioritize my time with my Father. I have to live there. I have to get in the Word. I have to abide. I have to put my foundation on that rock, because without that foundation, I'm susceptible to the deceivers. As I said earlier, Jesus calls them wolves in sheep's clothing. Don't be deceived. I had better firm up my foundation, especially as we get closer to the end of times. And I don't know when the end of times will actually be here, and we're getting, but I sometimes feel like we're getting close. I do know this, it's later than it's ever been. But I know that the closer we get there, the more we need to make sure that our house is built on rock. Jesus says the words of God, hear and do the words of God. That's your foundation. I also realized this, and I want to end with this. The more I began to learn who He is to me, the more He began to teach me about who I am to Him. And I thought, how loving is that? I'm learning more about God. I'm seeking God. He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. And my reward is He showed me more about who I am to Him. When I saw God better, I saw myself better. I see more love than I've ever seen before. Would you stand with me, please?